The first Sabbath of the month, and we always, unless the Lord providentially leads elsewise, that we turn to our text, our theme for the year, and that is where? Oh, you Bereans, how many of you really remembered it? John chapter 10. We got to get the verse up on the top of the stairs again. We have last year's verse. John chapter 10. Let me commence with verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There are a lot of bad shepherds, aren't they? They're hirelings. They're only in it for the money or for what they can get out of it. The Lord came to give. But he that is a hireling, not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming. And what does he do when a man's just in it for the money and sees the danger? He leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. A good shepherd will let the wolf catch him, right, and save the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and am known, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And he shows that he cares for the sheep. How? And I lay down my life for the sheep. That's the acid test, isn't it, of whether we care. Are we willing to suffer to see others benefited? And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Our memory verses for the year are the end of verse 15 and verse 16. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So far, we have considered three messages on our theme, or should I say two messages on our theme in January and February. In January, we looked at the theme itself of these texts, of these verses, the definite nature of Christ's work, the definiteness, the limitedness, if you will. This is known as limited atonement or definite atonement or specific atonement. There's a definite number of sheep that he laid down his life for, and there was a definite purpose. It was not just an example. The purpose was to save them. So there was a definite number that he had in mind, a definite purpose, and of course a definite result. If he had a definite number and the purpose was to save them from their sins, what is the definite result? They will be saved from their sins. He will bring them to heaven. He will lose none of them. And we have considered that from this text. We have not read into it. We have read it. I lay down my life for the sheep, he says. And he brings them into the fold who are outside the fold, and they are secure. In February, we looked at the sheep of Christ's purchase. Who are the sheep? What was their condition? Did they deserve to be sheep? We looked at the fact that his sheep were lost. His sheep were loved, and His sheep were liberated. So we look specifically at the sheep. Anyone who's a sheep of Jesus Christ, or let us say a found sheep, was lost. There was never anyone that was always a sheep, or let us say, who was without sin, who was not depraved. No one is born a Christian. No one is born in the fold. We were all lost, going our own ways. But the Lord loved us, even in our lost condition. He didn't love us looking ahead. It says He died for the ungodly. He loved us as lost souls. We do not merit His love because He did not love us anticipating our salvation. He loved us in our sins. And He liberated us from our sins. This morning, I'd like us to think about the emergence of the elect from these texts. The emergence of the elect. The elect will not always remain outside the fold. They will emerge. They will emerge. That's what this passage tells us. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I must bring. And there shall be one fold, He says. They will hear My voice. There will be one fold because there's one shepherd. That's the idea. It goes together. The emergence of the elect from this text. The elect will emerge. The first thought is that there are many unsaved elect yet to emerge. When I say the elect will emerge, that means we don't know who they are yet. They haven't emerged. And He's saying here, other sheep I have. Other elect I have. Which are not yet of this fold, is the idea. And so we're looking at the emerging of the elect, and this should have great relevance for us. We should be interested in this. This is what we're looking for. We're looking for the unsaved elect. We're looking for more people for the Lord to save. There are, you know, we talk to our children about your spouse is somewhere in the world. And that should interest them. Maybe their spouse is sitting in a church somewhere listening to a message. Maybe their spouse is in a stadium somewhere today. Unsaved, lost, uncaring, hasn't heard the gospel. You should be praying for your spouse. Perhaps that's the case. I didn't know this. Tanya assumed that I was saved until a point in time that the Lord moved her heart. Yes, you assumed I was lost. Thank you. Until a point in time. So she wasn't praying for my salvation. Right? She assumed I was saved. Yes, I thought you told me that you knew that I'm going to marry a Christian. So anyway, that's how I got it, that she wasn't praying for my salvation until a point that the Lord moved her to start praying for my salvation. And that was not long before the Lord saved me. You don't know the condition of your spouse right now. He or she could be lost. I'm assuming they've been born. I don't know if they're going to marry someone 20 years younger than they are or 15 years younger. I'm assuming not. We're assuming they're born, but they might not be saved. And maybe you have liberty to pray for the salvation of your lost future spouse. Maybe they're saved, but aren't there reasons to pray? Instead of worrying about who it is, pray that the person's around. Instead of just selling yourself around to Tom, Dick, and Harry or whoever, pray for your spouse. whether to be saved, certainly to go on with God, to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Well, that's normal. That should be something we should be encouraging our young people to do. But what about us as a congregation? There are members that need to be brought in. There are people that are going to be with us. The Lord intends to save and add to this church, not just to the universal church, but to this church. Where are they? Are they in Boston? Are they in the South Towns? We need to be praying. The Lord said, other sheep. And in John 17, He prayed for those sheep. He said, neither do I pray for these alone, but for those that shall believe on Me through their word. Jesus was praying ahead. He was praying for the lost sheep. He was praying for the thousands that were saved at Pentecost. He was praying for Saul of Tarsus. He was praying for Lydia. He was praying for Cornelius. He was praying for you and He was praying for me. There are many unsaved elect yet to emerge. Other sheep. They're not of this fold yet. That's what He's saying. And interestingly, He says, them also I must bring. The also tells us something. That the ones that are in the fold were not at first. I had to bring them into the fold too. Peter and James and John were not of this fold at once. The very one writing this under inspiration was not in the fold when he was born into the world. Them also, like the others, I must bring. And he's talking to his disciples, isn't he? He said, just like you, you be concerned for others. I'm concerned for others. Don't sit back and kick up your feet. You four and no more. Don't have that attitude. Look outside your borders. Be concerned about others. Be evangelistically minded. Be soul conscious. I'm soul conscious. I'm not content of the ones that have already been saved. I've got work to do. I'm concerned about the others. Those that emerged already were unsaved once. And I believe that this is talking about election unto salvation. There are people that say election is just election to service. They don't believe that God elects people to salvation. This is what's known as the free will, the Arminian crowd. And they call us the frozen chosen. I don't believe that election is just unto service. It tells me in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, God hath chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Salvation will include in the package service. You're not saved if you're not serving the Lord. I mean, serving the Lord is a result, is an evidence that you've been saved. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Worship and service are evidences that you've been given a new heart. Acts tells me in chapter 13, verse 48, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. It doesn't say ordained to service. Ordained to eternal life. Elected to eternal life. Being selected, being elected is to salvation as well as service. And so they always like to go to, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you to go and bring forth fruit. See, election is just to go and bring forth fruit. But they don't factor in the other verses. There's no doubt the Lord elects us to a church and selects us to a certain service. But He selected me to salvation. He selected me to eternal life. The word sheep is the idea of chosen ones, obviously, because in the end day, He calls His people on His right hand the sheep. And those on His left hand, the goats. My sheep hear my voice. The idea is the elect ones. My elect hear my voice because I know them. That's the idea, because I've elected them. Have you ever considered what that text means at the end of John chapter 10? My sheep hear my voice. Why? Because I know them. And is not in addition to. My sheep hear my voice because I know them in covenant relationship. I've known them as my sheep. Therefore, they hear my voice. And the result is they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. So there are many unsaved, elect, yet to emerge. They're called sheep, other sheep. But notice again another term, other. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. This word other speaks of another of the same kind. They're on the equal plane of the reverse, or of the opposite. Other sheep, that is, other than you. But other of the same kind. In other words, they're elect just like you were, John and Peter and James. The same condition as you were. Same stock of unsaved, depraved people. But he's not saying other of a different kind, as if these were not elect and so on, or that they're different as far as their condition is concerned. There are two Greek words in the New Testament that are translated another or other. One means another of the same kind, and one means another of a different kind. Now, I know they're also synonyms, so you've got the two circles, and half the circles are joined, but half the circles aren't. They're separated. The synonym is where the circles are joined. But there's a distinct meaning to the fact that they're not joined. And the distinct meaning is one is used in definite context where the Lord is indicating another of a different kind, and one is another of the same kind. And there's a text that uses both of them together that shows us what that he uses them distinctly. Look in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1. Look at verse 6 and 7. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. Now those two words are the same in English, but they're different Greek words. This is what it's saying. I marvel you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another of a different kind gospel. It's not another of the same kind. It's not the same gospel. It's a different gospel. So the first word, I have different versus similar. Maybe that's a way to discern between the two. In other words, the Lord was not saying other or different sheep I have, as if they're more righteous or better, but similar sheep, just like you. The difference may be just, some people say he's meaning the Gentiles here. I can't be convinced of that. But even if you say the Gentiles, the main meaning is clear. They're unsaved. Because he said they're not of this fold. But I think he's just talking about unsaved, elect people. So, another, it's not a different sheep. It's, now, the Lord uses that word different when he says you can't serve two masters. So you either hate the one and love the other. That's another of a different kind. Christ and materialism are not similar. They're not the same master. Where also it talks about Christ and the other malefactors, the other criminals. Christ was not similar to the other criminals. Now here's a seeming contradiction. It uses the same word, or the two Greek words of Christ and the malefactors in different contexts. So what would that mean? In one context, it says that Christ was crucified with the other of a different kind malefactor. But in another context, he was crucified, he was numbered with the other of the same kind. How could that be? Is there a contradiction? One context is saying Christ was pure and holy. He was not like them. They were deserving of their death. But the other context, it doesn't contradict, it's saying, but Christ became sin for us. That's how he's other of the same kind. They were guilty, but Christ was guilty of our sins, but nonetheless, he was guilty because he had our sins transferred to him. There's not a contradiction. Two things, two different angles of truth are being taught. Jude tells us, by the way, that the Sodomites and people in Gomorrah went after strange flesh. They were homosexuals. The word strange is another of a different kind. In other words, men went with men, women went with women. There was a different flesh than they should have. But then this word, another of the same kind. There's one God and there is no other. I like that. There's not even another of the same kind. People have different gods, but God is saying there's not even one like me. I'm the only God. There's none that are different than me, and there are none that are like me. I am unique. Now, there are people that present good gods, but they're false gods. I don't care if they present an omnipotent, omniscient, holy God. If it's not Jehovah, if it's not Jesus Christ, it's a false God. And the devil doesn't just paint gods that are ruthless and cruel. He tries to paint gods that are kind and gentle. Even saving gods. God says there's none even like me. What he's saying here is other sheep of the same mold. Whether they're Gentiles or Jews, they're lost. Just like my disciples were. They're unsaved elect. There are many unsaved elect yet to emerge. They're not of this fold. And that's so sad to read. You know, we read other sheep, and that comforts us. They're elect. They're sheep. They're just like we were, you know, lost. But doesn't this concern you? They're not of this fold. They're wild. They're out in the world. The wolves are threatening them. They're worldly. They're sinful. They're sowing their wickedness. So aren't we concerned about our brothers and sisters that are in taverns today? That, you know, like McShane said when he went from Scotland to the Holy Land. He had to go different places on the way, and he would make these comments, oh, how sad France doesn't have a Sabbath. Some of the Sabbaths, he had to stay in cities. He wouldn't travel very far, but he would try to find a good church, and it grieved his soul. In Scotland, at that time, the Sabbath was important, even to the point where they protested trains starting to run on Sunday. But the farther he got away from Scotland, the more wicked and the more profane the countries were. And you read his diary, and he says, oh, these poor French people, they have no Sabbath. The places of business are open, the places of pleasure. In other words, oh, how it grieved him. And to think that there are brothers and sisters, oh, how sad, they're not singing hymns today. They're not praying from their hearts to God and enjoying the communion of a covenant relationship with the Lord. They're not sitting in pews with their children and looking and saying, thank God my children are hearing truth. Do you have a vision, brother and sister? Do you have a vision of the unsaved elect out here? Are you concerned for your workmates that may be elect? Are you concerned maybe the person I brush shoulders with in that grocery store could be one of the Lord's? And one of mine, my brother or sister? Do we look at it this way? Or again, do we live unto ourselves? Or do we live with dejected hearts? This was not dejection. Other sheep I have. That's the way we ought to be living. They're out there somewhere. Let's go reach them. Let's not be dejected about what hasn't happened. Just to think, what hasn't happened yesterday is over with. Thank God it's over with. It's gone. It hasn't happened yesterday, but it can happen today. Think of those apostles praying in the upper room until Pentecost hit. Those 10 days they had to wait until Pentecost. It didn't happen the first day. Did they get dejected? I'm sure there were some that were saying, where's the promise? The second day they prayed. Where's the promise? Third, fourth, fifth. You know, some of them may have started to say, you know, there's 120 in the upper room. You can imagine some of them started to complain. Where is the promise? You know, how is it we listen to that unbelieving voice inside? Hasn't happened this year. Didn't happen last year. Hasn't happened yet. You know, that's the voice of the complaining Israelites. Where is the promised land? Where is it? The Lord Jesus said He has other sheep. Are you just going to say, well, that was 2,000 years ago. They're all exhausted now. We're living in a day and there's no more unsaved sheep. We're just in it by the skin of our teeth. We just got to go through the tribulation period. Even so, even if we go through the tribulation period, He said there's a lot of unsaved sheep that are going to be saved in the tribulation period. Or are we going to hear that voice? They're not in Buffalo. Buffalo's a preacher's graveyard. That's what I was told. So bury me in the graveyard. But I'm going to be hoping for the unsaved sheep to come forward. I'm going to live with that hope unto the Lord. They're not of this fold. That makes me sad. No man can tame them. You're looking at them, you may have passed one by yesterday. You may have said to the one of the lost sheep the other day, how nasty he is. I don't think that will ever get saved. Maybe you just talked to one like that yesterday in the grocery store. Maybe you shook hands with an unsaved elect the other day. You're worldly. He says, I have chosen you out of the world. So they're savable. They're qualified to be saved. They're ungodly, but Christ died for the ungodly. Let's not look at the appearance. Let's look to the Lord. They're depraved. Yes, they're dead. They're not saved. They're joyless. They're songless. They're prodigals. They're idle. They need to be brought into the field to work. Yes, but the Lord saves these people first. There are many unsaved elect yet to emerge. Some of them might be Protestant and they're not yet saved. They may be Presbyterian. They may be Baptist. But though they're all these things, they need to be saved. And yet, there are many unsaved elect that may be Mormon and Muslim and Hindu and Russellite and Romanist and drunkards and atheists and agnostics and evolutionists and materialists and hedonists. So the Lord will save them from their sins. Save them from deception. But I think maybe the greatest deception of all can be an unsaved elect in a Protestant church, in a godly denomination, that somehow the salvation of their parent or their friend is going to rub off on them. No, they need to be born again right here in this building if you're not saved, in churches that preach the gospel. There are many unsaved elect yet to emerge. You cannot tell by any external mark. I would even beware, just because they're my son or my daughter, let's never, ever presume upon that. There's no external mark. Secondly, while they're unsaved, thank God, Christ preserves them until they emerge. You wonder why the devil is such a murderer. He wants to frustrate God's purpose. But thank the Lord, he says, other sheep I have. I have. They're mine. No man shall pluck them out of my hand. I lay down my life for the sheep. And over my dead body and over my risen body, no one will destroy them. My sheep they are, Jesus said. 7 times or 8 times in John 17, those whom thou hast given me. And if God gave Christ his people, and if he died for them, he secures them even while they're unsaved. Doesn't it scare you to think of dying without Christ? Think of before you were saved, the times you could have died. And it certainly scares us, but the Lord preserved us. It's as if the Lord said, like he said to Job, you can do what you want. He can destroy his body and destroy his family, but you cannot take his life. You know how the devil sought to wreak havoc in our lives. I can think of several times that I could have died, and I thank God for his preservation. He sends his angels to preserve us. I remember being up at Thousand Islands fishing with my friend Steve, and I still can almost see the headlights coming at me, falling asleep for a moment, and went into the other lane. In the other lane, and I wake up, and here comes this car straight at me. What if I'd have kept sleeping for 3 more seconds? Several times, I have. That's why the Lord did let me perish. Not because I deserved his love. Not because I was less of a sinner. In the percentage of sinners, I would say I was in the upper percentage of sinners. Yet I was held by him. That's the word I have. The word is to possess, to hold, to clutch. Views of husbands having their wives. People possessing goods, sold all that he had, all that he held, all that he possessed. It's used of us having eternal life. But it's used of demons possessing people. He had a demon. It's used of a woman pregnant with child. She's with child. She has a child. It's hers. It's used of the Lord having authority. He has the keys of hell and of death. And what is he saying? Other sheep I have. They're mine. I have authority over them. I bought them. They're mine. I bound the strong man and spoiled his goods. You're bought with a price. I'll tell you, this is a motivation for service, if there's any. Tell me, election and the Lord having us, possessing us by His blood, is that not a reason to serve Him? I'm not my own anymore. I lay down my life for it. Instead of the sheep. He loved the church and gave himself for her. The Lord knows them that are his because he owns them that are his. He remembered us at Calvary. He had every one of us in mind at Calvary. He had every one of us in mind before Calvary. I pray not for them alone, but for everyone that will believe on me through their word. There are many unsaved elect yet to emerge. While they're unsaved, Christ preserves them until they emerge. And finally, these elect will emerge by conversion, by means of Christ's word. Them I must bring. What a hopeful verse. I must bring them. They're out in the fields of sin. They're out in the highways and byways of life. They're liars and Sabbath breakers and covetous and lustful. Pleasure lovers. But I must bring them. They're mine. I know them that are his, that are mine. He guarantees. Because he elected them. Because he loved them. Because he atoned for them. He's going to convert them, therefore. If he has taken the blood into heaven to present it to the Father, if he has appeased the wrath of God, he must remove their sins. He must save them. and He saves them by His Word. What did it say? And they shall hear My voice. Now He's no longer on earth in His body. He says, if they reject You, they reject Me. If they will not receive Your words, they have not received My words. Who is the voice of Christ? It's the voice of His people preaching His Word. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I am with you always. He says to preachers, speak as the oracles of God. Speak as God speaks. You've got My authority. You've got My call. You preach. And Peter even said, don't count more stock in an audible voice than in the written Scriptures. He said, I heard the voice in the mountain. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. I tell you, this is as authoritative as if we heard a voice from heaven right now. Matter of fact, I would say if we heard a voice from heaven right now, I would doubt it. The devil is an angel of light. But what I'm saying is, the reaction the people had at Mount Sinai, that I was reading that today, we've heard the voice of the living God and have lived. We're terrified by it. We know God has spoken to us. We have seen His glory and His greatness. But we need a mediator. That's what they were saying to Moses. They were terrified by the voice of God. Why aren't we terrified? Why aren't we motivated? We need faith in His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. These elect will emerge in conversion by means of Christ's Word. He says, I must bring them. The word must deals with something pressing, something that demands His attention, something that's absolutely important to do. We need to see that. I must. This is a priority for Me, He's saying. Whenever you see that of Christ in the New Testament, it's His priority. It's not some secondary thing. And I ask you today, is the conversion of sinners a priority for you? Yours and my priorities should be what are His priorities. Do we have our priorities right? What was His priority? I must be about My Father's business. I must go through Samaria. I must be lifted up. And He says here, I must bring these sheep. I tell you, you want to know what your priorities and mine should be? What His are. Feed My sheep, He said to the disciples. That's the priority. Feed My lambs. Brother and sister, maybe our priorities are out of whack. We've got to set the priorities. The priorities are that God's kingdom must be advanced. That He has elect people to save. Are we interested? Are we praying for sinners to be saved? Are we asking what we can do to reach His unsaved elect? Are we praying for tracts to distribute? People could be called. People could be visited. These elect will emerge by conversion. He said, you must be born again. That's how I know that. You won't know them until they're converted. Here's the seal. It's a double seal. It's two-sided. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy, you don't need to turn there, but he says in 2 Timothy, foundation of God standeth sure, verse 19, having this seal. Now it seems to be go on to say one mark, but it's a seal with two sides. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. But notice it goes on to say, and. So that's why I say there's two sides to it. One side we can't see. The Lord knoweth them that are His, the divine side, the sovereign side. And we don't know who those are. How are we going to know? Them that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. How do we know who are the Lord's? They're converted. They name the name of Christ and they depart from iniquity. That is the chief mark of the elect. They're new creatures. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. That's why He said you must be born again. The elect will emerge on this side of glory. That's why He said, I must abide at thy house, Zacchaeus, because you're my elect. And you're unsaved, and you need to be saved. That's why I must be lifted up, He said, because if I'm not lifted up, you won't be saved. He's saying here, I must save my elect. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one shepherd, or one fold and one shepherd. Notice He says, they're going to listen. They're going to repent. They're going to respond. They're going to follow. They're going to obey me. The mark of election is conversion and all of the aspects of conversion. Loving the brethren. Hating sin. And so on. That's the mark. The Lord sees the mark if there is one on the soul. He knows those that are His. We don't see. The only mark we see, the only side of the seal that we see of the coin of election is conversion. That's why. Do you wonder why the disciples said, be converted, repent, and believe the gospel? We've got to press souls to be converted. That's the mark. We're not pressing souls to be Protestants, to be Presbyterians. To be moral. No, it's good to be moral. But we're going beyond that. That's why we're probing. You've got to be converted, friend. You've got to be saved from your sins. We're not going to be at peace until you hate sin and love righteousness, until the scales have been dropped from your eyes and you're a new creature in Christ. That's how you will know you've been foreknown and predestinated. By being called. And the reason why sanctification isn't in there, because those are all the acts of God, where sanctification is partially an act of God and a cooperation by man. But He says, foreknown, predestinated, called, justified, and glorified. He doesn't include in there sanctification. But I'll tell you, He tells them there, no one's going to separate you from the love of God, because it's the work of God. But we know the work of God by sanctification, by conversion. If you know Christ, you're going to name His name and you're going to depart from iniquity. It's impossible to know Christ and not, may I say, eventually emerge to name His name. Peter denied His name. Peter didn't depart from iniquity at first. But we knew that He was the Lord's when He went out and wept bitterly and repented. And then He began to name His name. Then He began to depart from iniquity. Talk about frozen chosen. Tell me, is someone frozen chosen who repents, who believes, who loves, who weeps, who prays, who preaches, who sings, who gives, who fears, who forgives, who's friendly, who gives, who evangelizes? Is that frozen to you? That's fraud. I'm the fraud frozen. The Lord has thawed me. I was cold in my sin. I was dead to God and alive to wickedness. He made me alive. Oh, I have more thawing out to do. But He's thawing me out. It's not the frozen chosen, friend. I'd say it's more the frozen free will. Frozen isn't going to free will into salvation. The frozen needs a new heart. The dead need new hearts. If you're depending on your persuasion to lead sinners to Christ and not God's power, that'll be discouraging to me. That'll freeze me more than anything. What releases me is that God says, I will bring them. I will call them. They will hear my voice. But you go. I'm going to use you. I'm not going to send Michael. I'm not going to send Gabriel. I'm going to send you. I'm going to use you. But Lord, I can't talk. I made your mouth. Lord, I can't feel for sinners. I made your heart. Lord, I can't pray. I'm your intercessor. Lord, I can't give. I'm your provider. Lord, I can't write. I'm the one that makes you think. I made your mind. Don't say I can't. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, even the Lord's Supper today is a time for us to so remember Christ that the ice thaws in us. To take our minds back to Calvary. To refocus our attention away from the world, the things that have killed us, and even the things of ourselves. You can't be in the sunshine of Calvary and be frozen if you're a Christian. I know that the light, the sun hardens the clay. We're wax as believers in Christ. And I'm saying, in reality, if Calvary soaks in, if the truth of Calvary shines in, you can't remain frozen. If the truth gets, you've got to sit in the light of Calvary, but pray that the sunlight will penetrate us. The sun of righteousness will arise with healing in our wings. The emerging of the elect is a guarantee. There are many unsaved elect yet to emerge. There are other sheep not of this fold. Let's pray for them. While they're unsaved, Christ preserves them until they emerge. Let's pray for them. Those elect will emerge by conversion through His Word. Let's pray for them, but let's preach to them. Let's live before them. Let's go out and look for them. What do you do with a lost sheep? What do you do when your dog's lost? When your cat's lost? When your child's lost? You go out and look for them. I wonder, are the sheep not found because they're not being looked for? They're not being prayed for? May Berean Free Presbyterian Church show we're not frozen chosen by going out to look for the lost sheep, by praying for lost sheep in our prayer meetings, in our closets, by doing something for the Lord, being busy in the Lord's kingdom. He must be busy in His Father's work. May the Lord help us not to be idle, but to be workers in the kingdom of God. Not to take up space and just use the nutrients, but to have fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of loving souls. And not having a we four and no more, but oh, that the Lord would bring in 44. Oh, that the Lord would bring in more of His people. Shall we pray? Please hear our cries, Lord. Where we have no feeling, Lord, make us to feel. Lord, help my lack of feeling. Please give us a love for Thee, Lord. Thank You for electing us. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for preserving us while we were lost. Thank You for sending that one to preach to us. Thank You, Lord, for sending that one to give us a tract. Thank You for moving that one to give us a phone call, to send us a letter, to tell us his testimony. Please, Lord, as you have used others in our lives, use us in others' lives. Thank you for converting our souls. And you know every heart here. If there's one or more that need conversion, oh God, use your word. Is that not the other sheep that must yet be brought into the fold? Lord, there are others outside these walls. Make us all interested. Help us to realign our priorities. We must be about our Father's business, that we must seek the lost sheep, that we must feed the saved sheep. Oh God, hear our prayers. Cause this truth to sink deep down in. Make this to be a well-kept Sabbath in your presence. Bless our fellowship to follow. Bless the Lord's Supper. Oh God, would it please you that our brother Fred could be able to come. Thy will be done. Bless the service in Hamburg and those ministries that are engaged in by thy people at home or elsewhere. Oh Lord, make us busy in thy kingdom today. For Jesus' sake, amen.